Picture this. You live in a corner of the Upper Peninsula that's full of natural beauty. But the population in your town is shrinking and it's aging, even to the point where it's tough to find police officers and firefighters because everyone's just getting older. And there's little in the way of economic opportunity. And now here comes a huge Canadian company who wants to buy 10,000 acres of state-managed forest land and build a massive limestone mining operation. There's the prospect of a lot of money and the hope of jobs. And there's the fear of losing the natural beauty of your corner of the UP. What to do? That's the real-life dilemma happening right now in the Rexton area of the Upper Peninsula. Keith Matheny is a writer with the Detroit Free Press, and he's been following this story. Keith, tell us, where is the area we're talking about?
Well, it's in Mackinac County. It's actually surrounded by Hendricks and Hudson townships in Mackinac County, maybe 15 minutes north of US 2, the big freeway that runs through the UP.
So what does this company, Graymont, want to do with the 10,000 acres it's proposing to buy?
Well, that would be part of a really massive 13,000-acre mining operation that would include open pit mining. And eventually, decades down the road, when the open pits are exhausted, they would like to use the bulk of the property for an underground mining site. And one of the things they're telling the DNR is because we'll be underground, with the exception of a few facilities that we'll need, the surface activities, hunting, off-road vehicle use, whatever may be going on in that area, could still continue, and the surface area could still be under DNR management. Others are more skeptical of, what that may mean for them.
Well, how do those promises about minimizing the environmental impact, how do those square with Greystone's mining operations? Not only elsewhere in the U.S., we know they also have a limestone mine at Port Inland, about 45 miles west of Rexton.
Correct. They're, I believe, the second largest limestone operation in North America. They have a number of different sites in the U.S. They have a big limestone concern down in Mexico and the one you mentioned that already exists in the U.P. We were able to find, they were fined $200,000 by the state of Wisconsin in 2012. For air pollution violations related to their operation in Superior, Wisconsin, on the western shore of Lake Superior. And they had a smaller fine from the government of Pennsylvania for an operation they have there. Did not see any violations related to the Gulliver facility in the UP.
What are they offering? What could be the payoff for that area of the Upper Peninsula if the DNR agrees to sell the 10,000 acres?
Well, what it would mean for the state is probably tens of millions of dollars of revenue that would be used probably within, forestry management or some sort of a recreational fund through the DNR. Obviously, the tax base would change. It would go from open forest land, to a factory, and that would mean, filling the township coffers with quite a bit more tax revenue as well. The deal is still being negotiated, and I know because there would be so much more truck traffic related to a limestone facility, the township officials up there really want some assurances that the roads would be taken care of by Graymont as well.
Did I read your story correctly that Graymont's proposing only six jobs at the mine?
Six jobs. All of this is for six mining jobs. Now, there's a thought that there would be sort of a ripple effect from it and that those jobs would lead to other jobs. But even at that, they're talking maybe years down the road of including a limestone processing plant at the mining site. But even with that, they're talking maybe two dozen jobs. And that sounds like a pittance, and maybe it is, but you've got to look at it in the context of the Rexton area, which literally has a gas station party store as its business district. It has one blinking traffic light, and most of the residents there are retirees. So if you're a young person who is looking to stay in the area, it's really difficult to find work.
What do you hear from people in the Rexton area?
When you talk to the retirees, they came there for a quality of life that is related to all of the forest land, the lakes, the magnificent snowmobile and ORV trails, and they definitely see this as something that will take away from that in a permanent sort of way, and they're vehemently opposed. If you talk to other folks, they, you know, like the hope that it brings in terms of the economics. As you mentioned, these areas are getting older. They're having trouble getting first responders and firefighters. People who are of a working age often have to travel maybe an hour one way in terms of a commute to try to find a job. So they're looking at the local economic opportunity. When you talk to the township officials up there, they seem to think that most people are leaning towards supporting it, but have real significant concerns about how it might impact, you know, their water wells, you know, the hydrology in general, and what would be required of Graymont in terms of fixing areas that they tear up with their mining operation.
And it is DNR managed forest land, so it's up to them to make the decision. But what process is the DNR using as it goes about the fact finding and decision making?
Well, one of the things that I think a lot of people find interesting is ultimately this will be a decision of the DNR director, Keith Cree. It will probably be made at a Natural Resources Commission meeting, but it is not a Natural Resources Commission decision. So it's somewhat interesting that something this significant that will absolutely transform life for generations in the UP more or less comes down to one guy, and there's not a lot of layers of accountability in terms of, you know, if it was a legislative decision. The DNR is undertaking a lot of different reviews of this process. They've commissioned some scientific studies to look at things like the groundwater impacts. They've had you know, public hearings and meetings up there with tribal leaders, with community members. So there's kind of a lot of different processes going on. I was told there's not really any sort of timetable for a decision, but they want to move carefully because they recognize it's a pretty big deal.
The state DNR is now seeking public comments on the proposed sale. You can go to Michigan.gov and search for Graymont, G-R-A-Y-M-O-N-T, and that will give you links to information, not only about the proposal, but a link for you to submit your comments. Now we turn to an environmental story that we've been following closely here on Stateside, and you've got a piece in today's Free Press about it, Keith, and that's the proposal by a Canadian utility to build underground storage for low and intermediate level nuclear waste and do it in the Ontario town of Kincardine, just a quarter mile from the shores of Lake Huron. Now we're seeing some Michigan lawmakers kicking into action. Who's taking action and what are they doing?
Well, State Senator Phil Pavlov, who's a Republican in St. Clair Township, and a few other mostly Thumb area lawmakers are introducing a package of legislation that would include bills and some resolutions that really are taking a multi-pronged approach to trying to stop this nuclear waste site near the shores of Lake Huron. It would include strengthening Michigan's prohibitions against importing nuclear waste to include some of the more dangerous levels of low-level nuclear waste. We already have a ban. They want to kind of expand it to include more radioactive waste. And with regards to the Kincardine facility, they're seeking to pass a resolution that would urge President Obama, Secretary of State John Kerry, and the Congress to become more active on this. What they would like is the something called the International Joint Commission. That's a dual Canada-U.S. agency that was created by treaty a long time ago to resolve Great Lakes-related disputes. They want to get them engaged on this because they really see Pavlov told me yesterday that he really sees this as something that the whole Great Lakes Basin should be concerned about. And some of the bills that they're talking about would create a panel that would sort of hold hearings on the Michigan side looking at the potential impacts of this. And I'm told it's about raising awareness, kind of raising the warning flag and getting more people engaged.
So it seems that it's largely symbolic just because the decision is ultimately going to be made by the Canadian government, yes?
That's true. You know, there are pieces that would strengthen what Michigan's doing. But, yeah, one of the recurring themes with this Kincardine proposal is that you've got an agency of the Canadian government making a decision that impacts the drinking water supply of something like 25 million Americans, you know, who get their water from the Great Lakes. So it's an interesting conundrum, and it will be quite something to see whether this sort of pressure that they're getting from the American side influences the Canadian decision.
And in fact, as you note in your piece in the Free Press, that Senator Phil Pavlov has unveiled an online petition site so Michiganders can speak out and air their views about the Kincardine Underground Storage Facility. It's protectlakehuron.com. That's protectlakehuron.com. Keith, do we know when the Canadian government's expected to make its decision on the proposal from Ontario Power Generation?
Well, there was a timetable that seemed to indicate it would be coming, by about the middle of this year, but that may have been slowed down by some revelations this spring. A former scientist with Ontario Power Generation, the utility there that wants to build the Kincardine facility, discovered that some of the materials that would be stored there were much more radioactive than was told to the people considering the site. So that has kind of thrown a wrench into things, and they're doing some reevaluation. As well, in February in New Mexico, a underground nuclear waste storage facility had an accident that led to the exposure to radiation of some workers at the surface. And it's a similar facility to what's proposed in Kincardine, and that kind of sort of sent shockwaves through the process here as well. And I think there's sort of a new round of evaluation going on. I would still believe that the Canadian government will make a decision yet this year, but there may be some delays.
Keith Matheny of the Detroit Free Press, always good talking with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Cynthia.